Up President Trump's pick for attorney general. How much power do these senators have in their final months in office? We ask former Republican Senator Jeff Flake on Morning Edition from NPR News. Trump's peace plan for Gaza called for Hamas to give up its weapons and for Israel to withdraw. I'm Michelle Martin.
And I'm Leila Fadel. That was 9 months ago. Trump now claims his Board of Peace reached a breakthrough. Hamas disagrees. Also, a New York City neighborhood remembers a soldier killed in Jordan this month. And the internet calls Domi and J.D. Beck a jazz duo. They agree they're a duo. Jazz, they say, you be the judge. It's Friday, July 31st. On this day in 1991, the U.S. and the Soviet Union ended their nuclear arms race. The news is next.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Janine Herbst. President Trump says his Board of Peace has reached a deal with the militant group Hamas to completely disarm. But Hamas is disputing that. And Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has so far been silent. NPR's Franco Ordonez has more.
Like so many of these things, a lot comes down to the details and obviously the execution of those. The problem seems to be a disagreement over what comes first, whether it's Israel pulling out of Gaza or Hamas handing over their weapons. Now, the Board of Peace says, quote, withdrawal must move in lockstep with the decommissioning. But a senior Hamas official told NPR that they would only give up their weapons if Israel withdraws from Gaza first.
NPR's Franco Ordonez. This says Trump and Israel are still involved in another war against Iran, which a new poll from the AP finds most Americans, nearly two-thirds, say isn't worth it. Body cam footage from federal immigration agents out on patrol in Los Angeles captures them using racial slurs about Latinos they're targeting for arrest. The videos are part of a federal lawsuit accusing ICE and Border Patrol agents of racial profiling. The following from NPR's Adrian Florido includes audio of the slurs.
In this video from last year, two agents are talking after an immigration raid.
I checked one guy's ID.
Did you?
Yeah.
There was a guy, I'm pretty sure he's wet. He was just sitting in that minivan.
There was a guy, I'm pretty sure he was wet, one agent says, a shortened version of wetback, a racial slur for Mexicans. In another video, an agent points out the driver of a nearby car.
It looked like a tonk in the driver's seat.
Tonk is a derogatory term for a migrant. It refers to the sound when an agent's flashlight strikes a migrant's head. The ACLU obtained the footage as part of a lawsuit accusing immigration agents of targeting people because they look Latino. The government says its agents don't racially profile. Adrian Florido, NPR News.
AI has become closely associated with layoffs, but a recent study suggests some companies may have cut workers too quickly. NPR's Windsor Johnston has more.
A recent study by the business management group Gartner predicts that by 2027, half of the companies that cut customer service jobs because of AI will hire people back in similar roles. Researchers say many businesses misjudge the transition. Kathy Ross is a vice president analyst at Gartner.
I think in some cases we've overestimated how easy it might be for AI to automate entire roles. And it's continuing to evolve, but not at the pace to where it can actually drive complete role elimination.
The study also found only 20% of customer service leaders have actually reduced staffing because of AI. Windsor Johnston, NPR News.
You're listening to NPR News from Washington. After winning an emergency nominating convention last weekend, Maine Democratic Senate candidate Troy Jackson is sprinting to assemble his campaign team for his run against Republican incumbent Susan Collins. Steve Missler from member station Maine Public has more.
Jackson became the Democrats' nominee after embattled Graham Plattner stepped aside after allegations of sexual misconduct. But Jackson is hoping he can harness the voter enthusiasm generated by Plattner's run.
I do think that we are on the right side of this, that people are energized because of the poor government that we have. And I think it's possible.
Jackson's political career was launched nearly 30 years ago during a labor protest at the Canadian border. He has fewer than 100 days to mount a campaign against Collins, who is seeking her sixth term. For NPR News, I'm Steve Missler in Brunswick, Maine.
The State Department is raising the number of special commemorative passports featuring President Trump's image on the inside cover. The department says they're adding another 250,000, citing overwhelming demand for the passports that honor America's 250th anniversary. But these special edition passports are not automatic. You have to apply in person at a special passport application event, which the State Department says will be held through September at agencies around the United States. U.S. futures contracts are trading higher at this hour. Dow futures are up about 348 points. NASDAQ futures are up 342 points. That's about 1.2% rise. You're listening to NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Eric and Wendy Schmidt through the Schmidt Family Foundation, working toward a healthy, resilient, secure world for all. On the web at theschmidt.org. This is NPR.
I'm Heidi Holton, and on KXE, we want to hear from you. We want to hear voices of the people who live here, the people who are listening, observations in nature, commentary on our programming. You can do that easily through SpeakPipe. Go to speakpipe.com/KEXE. KEXE is truly people-powered.
Hey, guys. I'm going to send you a couple more little observations from this week that I thought were pretty cool. One, we see a lot of turkey vultures around here, so that's not unusual.
And I appreciate this effort to move away from the bombast that elections have become. Tip O'Neill said it best, all politics is local. And I so appreciate you, KAXE, for making it so.
Last Sunday, while paddling along the north and east shore of Sand Lake in the Britt area, I noticed about a dozen clumps of yellow irises.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Leila Fadel.
And I'm Michelle Martin. Good morning. Todd Blanche's nomination for Attorney General is in limbo. Blanche, who had been the president's personal lawyer, has been serving as acting Attorney General.
Two Republican senators want guarantees about the Justice Department's deal with President Trump to end his IRS lawsuit. Instead of providing those assurances, Trump says he may temporarily withdraw Blanche's nomination until the two senators leave office. In a few moments, we'll ask former Republican U.S. Senator Jeff Flake what this means about President Trump's hold on the GOP. We begin with the latest information.
NPR Justice Correspondent Ryan Lucas is also here in our studios. He's covering this, and he's with us now. Good morning to you, Ryan.
Good morning.
So people may remember that the Republican majority Senate has been very compliant in confirming the president's nominees, even ones that they said they had serious concerns about. So why does this one seem to be in jeopardy?
Well, look, the hubbub around Blanche all centers around the settlement that Trump struck with the Justice Department to end his lawsuit against the IRS over his leaked tax returns. That deal, remember, included the creation of a nearly $1.8 billion anti-weaponization fund. Blanche says that's dead. There's also a related immunity deal for Trump, his family, businesses, that shields them from IRS audits of past tax returns. That, Blanche says, is still in effect. Now, the pushback in the Senate right now is coming from two Republican senators, Texas's John Cornyn and Tom Tillis of North Carolina. They are both members of the Senate Judiciary Committee that has to vote on Blanche's nomination. And they want written guarantees from the Justice Department about this settlement, that the anti-weaponization fund is indeed dead, and about the scope of the tax immunity deal. They want that before they will support Blanche. The two sides have been negotiating for days, but the senators say they still don't have the assurances they need to get to yes.
And then yesterday, President Trump floated the idea of temporarily withdrawing Blanche's nomination. What would that accomplish?
Well, look, either way, Blanche would be in charge of the Justice Department. Either he gets confirmed or he'll stay on as the acting attorney general. And to be clear, the White House hasn't actually withdrawn his nomination yet. But look, Trump's suggestion was that he could temporarily withdraw Blanche's nomination if Cornyn and Tillis don't back down. And Trump said he then could just put Blanche back up for the job once Tillis and Cornyn are out of office. And yes, both senators are leaving office at the end of the year in no small part because of Trump. Trump has even crowed about that. He pointed out that he had refused to endorse either Cornyn or Tillis, and he said that he may have ended their political careers. Trump, in fact, endorsed Cornyn's primary challenger, which was a significant blow to Cornyn's ultimately unsuccessful reelection bid. But there is a risk to Trump's gambit here if he follows through. And that's because there's no guarantee that the Senate math is any better after the midterms. But Cornyn and Tillis, as I said, they are leaving office at the end of the year. And now we see them sticking to their demands on Blanche. Both sides, the Justice Department and the senators, say they are trying to work all of this out.
Staying on the politics of this for a second, is this holdup just a blip or do we think it's something bigger?
Well, look, I can't speak to the broader internal politics of the GOP, but focusing just on Blanche's nomination, he does have the support of the other 10 Republicans on the Senate Judiciary Committee. But there are a number of senators in the full Republican caucus that have similar concerns about this Trump IRS deal as Cornyn and Tillis. Cornyn also had this to say to reporters yesterday about efforts to resolve all of this.
If this were just between me and Todd Blanche, we would have worked this out. But apparently he's getting some pushback from higher-ups at the White House. I don't know who, but this doesn't need to be this hard.
I think it's worth stressing here that Trump would rather at this point withdraw Blanche's nomination than provide guarantees about the tax immunity deal that benefits him, benefits his family, and their businesses. That is the bottom line as of right now.
That is NPR's Ryan Lucas. Ryan, thank you.
Thank you.
Let's turn to a Republican with experience navigating conflict in Congress. Jeff Flake served in both the Senate and the House, representing Arizona. He left the Senate in 2019 after declining to run for re-election amid disagreements with President Trump. He also served in the Biden administration as ambassador to Turkey. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
So President Trump says he can wait until after Senators Tom Tillis and John Cornyn leave the Senate in the new year. Do you think his assumption here that Republicans will keep a majority after the midterms is a gamble?
Well, I think Republicans are likely to keep the majority. It may not be the same numbers. They may be down one or two. But he also has to consider this is going to be beyond the midterms. And any president in his second term loses some power after the midterms in the second term. And the president will as well. So even if he holds the same numbers, he's likely to lose influence.
You've been in touch with both Senators Tom Tillis and John Cornyn over their objections to Todd Blanche's nomination. What have they told you?
Well, they're holding firm, and they're not asking too much. To have written assurance on these issues is fine, and they should have that. Any lawyer knows that that's what is done. But as mentioned in the lead-in piece, the president simply doesn't want to give those assurances because, one, he likes the weaponization fund, and two, he likes the immunity deal. So he wants to keep them in play.
Neither Tillis nor Cornyn have re-election battles to win. Do you think either of them would be objecting to this nomination if they were hoping to return to Capitol Hill?
You know, no Republican in the Senate likes these deals. They really don't. And John Cornyn in particular is very vested in the judiciary and the courts, and the DOJ. So I'm not going to say that he wouldn't be raising it. Or Tom Tillis. They're dedicated, you know, competent members of the Senate. So I'm just glad they're raising it. And it did my heart good this week to see them standing up so firmly.
But do you think they feel more free to do this?
No doubt. The president has particular, you know, sway over Republican voters, that subset of a subset that controls primaries. So he's been able to threaten just about any member of the Senate, any Republican, from re-election. So that's given him considerable power, but that is now waning.
I'm curious why you think more Republicans who don't have elections to lose specifically are not pushing back on Trump when they disagree with him, including moving forward other nominees they don't think are qualified.
Yeah, that's been a source of frustration, I think, to the whole country. The Senate really hasn't been the Senate pushing back. But you know, if you're a Republican and you're safe, and you don't have to push back, you don't have to comment on these issues. If you aren't on the relevant committees, then you just don't. You just don't want to pick fights that don't determine what's going to happen to you. So it's been a little frustrating, frankly, to see.
How much leverage do Tillis and Cornyn have here? I mean, since President Trump could just leave Blanche as acting attorney general.
Yeah, he can, and they can't do anything about that. But obviously, the Senate wants this process to work and continue, and so does the president. So, they want a confirmed attorney general. Everyone does. So this is a big deal that the president would just simply say, "I'm going to hold off until the next Congress." But you're right. I mean, they can't stop him from just putting Blanche in or keeping him there as the acting attorney general.
And really quickly, you've said that you hope to see a return to divided government after the midterms. So I'm interpreting that to mean that you want the Democrats to take back a majority in at least one chamber of Congress. Why?
You know, any fiscal conservative, any conservative Republican knows that the best government is divided government when it comes to limited government. So, that would be best in my view.
Former Republican Senator and former Ambassador Jeff Flake, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Invited multiple Republican senators to discuss the Blanche nomination and other topics. Those invitations remain open.
The Justice Department is turning to a decades-old statute and a never-before-used court to try to deport a woman accused of pledging allegiance to the Islamic State. NPR's Carrie Johnson was in the courtroom.
Congress created the Alien Terrorist Removal Court in 1996 to give the Justice Department another way to deport people who pose a risk to national security. That court sat dormant for 30 years until this month.
This is clearly a court that's building on the fly, right?
Seamus Hughes is a counterterrorism researcher at the University of Nebraska, Omaha.
The defense attorney was appointed a few days prior. Department of Justice is bringing up a legal pad that has the statute written out on it, and they're working through it. You see a court that's kind of borrowing, they're stealing their way into a normal process.
Chief Judge Joan Erickson says it might not always look elegant, but she says she's committed to being careful, faithful to the Constitution and the rule of law. At the defense table was Nazira Hajizadeh. She's 47 years old, a legal permanent resident of the U.S., originally from Afghanistan. Last year, her son and son-in-law were sentenced for plotting a terror attack on Election Day 2024. But rather than charge her with a crime, prosecutors turned to the new court. Most of the evidence remains classified, but prosecutors unsealed a bit, arguing she tried to radicalize her family members to support the terror group ISIS. Her public defender says he'll challenge the constitutionality of the court. Georgetown law professor Steve Laddock has been following closely.
I think there is no doubt that there are serious due process concerns about the Alien Terrorist Removal Court, both in how it's designed and in how it would work in practice, especially with individuals who are lawful permanent residents or others who have clear and well-settled due process rights.
Andrew Arthur is a fellow at the Center for Immigration Studies, which promotes limits on immigration. He says when he worked as a prosecutor, he was usually able to find some other way to remove people for overstaying visas or entering the country without papers. So this case is an anomaly. And even if DOJ ultimately succeeds, Arthur says, lots of questions remain, including this one.
Finding a country to send this individual to will be a challenge because most countries do not want to receive other countries' terrorists.
Carrie Johnson, NPR News.
Good morning, it's 6:19, and you are listening to People Powered KAXC. I'm Heidi Holton. Thanks so much for being here today. We do have more news coming up next. We are learning about Domi and JD Beck. They've been playing music together since they were teenagers. Now they're in their 20s and out with their second album. A. Martinez is asking them if they feel like mature musicians now. That's the kind of programming you hear on KEXE, and a focus on music, especially Minnesota music, coming up at 10 o'clock today. It's Minnesota Mixtape. It is our summer membership drive. We're looking for your help, your support right now. Go to KEXE.org. I'd love to take your phone call. I'm Heidi Holton, 218-326-1234. Businesses support us because individuals support KEXE, and we would like to give thanks to Dale's Auto Body. They serve the auto body needs of Grand Rapids and surrounding communities since 1984. Performing auto body and collision repair, as well as auto glass replacement, dedicated to getting you back on the road after an accident, dalesautobodyinc.com. And thanks also goes out to the First National Bank of Coleraine since 1906, serving the needs of the community, working with friends and neighbors, with branches in Coleraine and Grand Rapids. ColeraineBank.com, member FDIC. More news is next.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from your part-time controller, specializing in nonprofit accounting and committed to supporting nonprofits with financial management services such as budgeting and forecasting. YPTC.com/NPR. From the estate of Joan B. Kroc, whose bequest serves as an enduring investment in the future of public radio and seeks to help NPR be the model for high-quality journalism in the 21st century. From Clarivate, celebrating the U.S. at 250 with educational and research resources about the people and ideas behind the nation's origins. Learn more at ProQuest.com. And from the Public Welfare Foundation.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Leila Faldin.
I'm Michelle Martin.
And I'm A. Martinez. When a pair of musicians are called the future, maybe you'd expect more than just keys and drums. But that is what Grammy award-winning singer and rapper Anderson .Paak calls Domi and J.D. Beck, the future. They have a long list of famous fans and collaborators, from Herbie Hancock to Snoop Dogg. They've even shared the stage with Thundercat and Ariana Grande.
Somebody tell me how I'm supposed to do.
Domi plays keys, J.D. Beck is on drums. They've been playing music together since they were teenagers. They're now in their 20s, and their second album is called Who Asked? A lot of people call their music jazz, but their sound is not so easy to define, so I asked them about it. I did a ton of research on both of you, and I went to Wikipedia that claims that you two are a jazz duo. So let's start with the duo part. Can we all agree that you two are a duo?
That we agree.
Yep.
That's fine. That's a good... Okay, good, good. Now, what about the jazz part?
That's up to everybody's opinion, I guess.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I think... we're inspired by jazz. We grew up playing it. I don't know if you could call us that. I mean, I don't know.
Like, everybody can say whatever they want. So whatever wants, whatever is being said, it's all correct, it's all wrong.
Okay. Now, JD, you once described your musical approaches as a let's play everything imaginable and try to do something weird. So how would you describe this album, Who Asked?
That sounds like a 14-year-old me quote. I mean, for this, I guess I stand by that quote. I don't know, but not everything imaginable. I think what I meant was everything we can imagine, because, you know, we're trying to just push ourselves and make music that we haven't heard before.
And that's the interesting part, at least for me, when I think of what artists do, is that, you know, does the artist kind of just sit in the moment and just play whatever comes to them, or are they thinking about pushing themselves kind of further into, like, into different areas?
Everything we do, we're always second-guessing everything. Like, if we're doing enough, every like month we feel like idiots because we learned something that completely could have changed our entire approach for like a year or something, you know, that's always happening. We're just trying not to be surprised by stuff we learn, but also learn surprising things.
So that's just super reassuring for me to hear. To hear that two people as talented as both of you actually have monthly regrets. I mean, it sounds like. I mean, that sounds reassuring.
Daily.
Okay, daily regrets. Wow.
Well, that's the only way to push. You know, if you really, truly want to push, you have to have a quality standard that is personal and abide by it, you know? And so obviously, yeah, every day we're happy of stuff, but we're also like, oh, yeah, we got to do this better. You know, we never go to bed at night and we're like, we killed it today, you know?
Yeah, that never happens.
That never happens? We can be, come on. Really?
No, not really. Because there's always one part that we're like, ah, damn it, you know? But we need to tell ourselves that in order to do better next time, you know?
Now, I noticed that humor is a big part of your sound. For example, you once renamed your version of John Coltrane's song, Giant Steps, Giant Nuts. So, humor.
Yes.
Humor. Why is humor such a big part of your sound?
I don't know if it's a part of the sound. I think it's just an easy way for us to be natural with the stuff we're doing. I think if we tried to be super serious all the time, it wouldn't be real.
Yeah, we stay ourselves, you know, that's how we are, just behind closed doors. This is how we joke around and stuff. But on this new record, it's all like very deep and stuff.
There's nothing really funny.
Yeah, there's nothing funny on it. But it's because we treat art the most serious thing ever. That doesn't mean we should treat ourselves seriously, you know.
Okay, so I want to play this song, Growing Older. Let's hear Growing Older. Days cascading out of sight, younger ways like fleeting light, time worn gently on the face, seasons change, we're growing older. My goodness, why are these thoughts creeping into your music?
I think it's because we're around a lot of people who care so much about age. Personally, I think I've heard so much like, oh man, age, time is going so fast and stuff. And I don't necessarily agree or think we should care about it that much, but it's always lingering, you know? Also, we're growing older because we started playing instruments so young and we've practiced so much and stuff. So for us, the concept of time is a little different because, well, for me, my childhood was 25,000 hours of practice.
So considering that both of you have been playing music publicly since you were in the single digits age-wise, do you each see yourselves as mature musicians?
No.
Yeah, absolutely not.
The concept of maturity always was messed up for me because I have bad memories of that word being thrown around. Like my classical piano teacher would always say like, you need more maturity to play that piece. So of course the first thing I would do is, you know, practice that piece just to make them mad.
Yeah, I think a lot of our playing is in spite of maturity. Maturity is never a concern.
Yeah, no.
Domi and JD Beck's new album is called Who Asked? Domi, JD, thanks a lot.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
This is NPR News.
After Dr. Anthony Fauci's contentious Senate hearing, experts worry trust in public health in the U.S. may erode further.
That devaluing will make it much harder to do the work of public health.
I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Public health officials say declining confidence in their field could make people more vulnerable to current pathogens and future pandemics. That story on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Good morning. It is almost 6:30 and you are tuned in to People Powered KAXE.
That is Malachi Coons on the gong. I'm Heidi Holton at the board, and we are so happy because we had a pledge to KAXC.org, second to last day of the summer membership drive.
Yeah, that one came in since we were last on. Thank you to Katie from Grand Rapids. Really nice to see that when we arrived at the station this morning, Heidi, because there are 2 days left. Mm-hmm. Still work to do. We have a goal that we had set out for this summer member drive, factoring in our, you know, the federal funding cuts mm-hmm. since last time, just factoring in different changes, things we've had to do at the station. Not at all an arbitrary goal or just a lofty goal we've set. These have real meanings. We've crunched the numbers. This is an amount we need to make. And we still have some work to do. So we were able to start things off today on a good note with Katie stepping up, becoming a member, going to get that sweet new KAXC t-shirt. We're going to have a lot of fun today on the Friday morning show, but we are going to need to hear from you. We're also going to make a lot of asks. These are things that make public radio what it is. And we know we can do it. We know how much you value this station, and we need you now. Even if you're just getting going, getting the coffee ready, it's early in the morning. Get us going. We have a match on the table. That's going to go a long way. If we hear from 10 folks over the morning show, unlocking $1,000 from Loggy Dome, always great to hear from them. They've been a longtime supporter, understand what KAXC means. It's time for you to do the same. You can go to KAXC.org and click donate if you are up and running. We'll get the phones going a little later. But it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it. It's my first morning show member drive.
Hey, well, welcome. It's going to be a lot of fun. Fridays are a lot of fun, as Malachi said, but it is important that we keep it going. We always bring you this kind of connection to people and where you live in each morning show. Fridays are a little looser. We get to do some sports. If you're somebody who loved, I can't tell you how many people have told me how much they loved Football is Life. That's a perfect reason for you to pledge to support a station that gave you that passion of people who were following it intensely and a lot to say and taught us all a lot, even if it was only about geography, for crying out loud.
I learned some geography things. Yeah, for sure. That was incredible. And we can do things like that. We can bring on new features.
Yeah.
You know, we hadn't planned that for that long before, and we can adjust on a dime. We can, you know, the World Cup was obviously, people knew it was coming, but sometimes other things come up and we can adjust and bring you new features and new voices just like that. We can switch what songs you're hearing based on the weather changing or an event that requires a different tone of song. It's live radio. We come to you every day, real people behind the microphones, no pre-recorded breaks that you're going to be hearing. And it's just a lot of fun, and it's something that's a very special thing. And we don't take it for granted, and we know you don't either. We need your support to continue doing this. People-powered radio, the people are you. That's the biggest and most steady and the coolest part of our funding process to me, which allows us to do what we do. And, you know, when we all pitch in together, when everyone steps up, I know we can hit this goal, even with our last 2 days of the member drive. So get us going here like Katie, and let's keep that momentum rolling right through the morning show today.
Text the word donate to 218-326-1234. We do have a chance of showers and thunderstorms possibly early this morning into the afternoon, especially in Crow Wing and Aiken counties. High 77 to 81 overnight. This is sounding pretty good. 58 to 61 overnight.
I know. I woke up and I looked at the weather and I saw, you know, there's a chance of rain kind of throughout the day. It didn't look like a lot of sun. And I saw that the highs, when I checked at my house, up Scenic 7 this morning, weren't in the 80s at all, and I thought, that's nice.
Yeah.
Even with the rain. So if it's keeping, you know, a little drizzly indoors, you're kicking back. KAXC will keep you company, as we always do, even on the hot scorcher days, whatever it is. Get your donation out of the way, and we'll have a lovely rainy, gray, I think slightly cooler day that people have been really looking forward to.
I kind of love, I just remember as a kid, you know, those rainy days if you were at a cabin or you were somewhere, because everybody was going to play a game together and we were going to all do something together inside. And I always like that sort of feeling. Thanks for being with us today. You get that feeling of connection. So I think I was not far from where you live yesterday, Malachi. Do you notice I bolted out of here at a little after 9 o'clock yesterday?
I did. And then I saw a bunch of blueberries pop up.
I went blueberry picking.
Okay. So
I had a friend of my brother who is
did not plan to be gone for an extended time, who's actually RVing in Alaska, did not want her blueberries to go to waste. And so she'd had neighbors and then had been checking with me, and it'd been so hot and there'd been smoke and there'd been all this stuff. And finally, yesterday was the day, and I was able to go with a friend and just sit on a bucket and pick some blueberries, you know?
Yeah, I saw the box that appeared in...
it's home now too. I didn't share.
It's okay. No. I didn't request it. It just was nice to see all of a sudden in the refrigerator a box of fresh blueberries. And I had someone else who lives sort of in the same region telling me that they had a really good year for blueberries, like going crazy right now. So what are you seeing where you're at? We're going to have a special guest later on in the morning show who knows when things are blooming and fruiting and all that. I'll leave it up to you if you can figure out who it is. but what a lovely way to, we had blueberry bushes growing up, but the birds would always get a lot of them.
Oh, sure.
And then we put nets out sometimes, then birds would get stuck in them, and we didn't like that either. So we kind of just thought, you know, if we get blueberries, good, but they often got mowed down. But.
Yeah,
berry picking's just a lot of fun. It's been a while since I've done that.
It is. It was a little hot, but it was okay. There was a slight breeze. Janet is here. She's going to be taking phone calls to 218-326-1234. You get a mix of news sources as well, like national native news that's coming up next. We're learning about how Representative Stansberry from New Mexico has introduced two bills this week to modernize the Bureau of Indian Education and potentially bring higher teacher salaries and more federal funding for tribal schools. We'll hear that perspective coming up next. We'll have the Up North report right after 7 o'clock. And we continue to bring you national coverage from the trusted news source of National Public Radio. Don't forget, we're not part of Minnesota Public Radio. We are both affiliates of National Public Radio, but your membership stays in Northern Minnesota when you pledge right now. 218-326-1234.
This is National Native News. I'm Jill Freitas. U.S. Representative Melanie Stansberry from New Mexico introduced two bills this week in the House to modernize the Bureau of Indian Education and potentially bring higher teacher salaries and more federal funding for tribal schools. KUNM's Jeanette Didios has more.
The Indigenous Students Excel Through Parity Act and its supporting Act 2 bill would create a study under the Department of Interior to recommend reforms in order to provide funds that could increase teacher pay and provide more educational opportunities. An identical bill is sponsored in the Senate by Democratic Senator Martin Heinrich and Republican Senator Cynthia Loomis from Wyoming. The Interior Department administers the Bureau of Indian Education, which funds 183 schools across the country. New Mexico has one of the highest concentrations of BIE-funded schools with 44. Despite this, Stansberry says BIE schools have traditionally been underfunded, but they are competing with state-funded schools to recruit teachers.
So what this bill would do is study the current formula funds that are allocated per student to these tribally controlled schools to evaluate, one, how to increase funding per student, how to address increasing teacher and staff pay, and how to make sure that those schools who have extra costs and needs can have their needs met.
Stansberry says the goal of the bills is to bring teacher salaries in tribal schools up to the same level as those in state-funded schools.
If you're a teacher, I mean, think about it, and you really want to work in a tribal community, whether you are a Native person yourself or not, and you're looking at the difference of getting paid, let's say, $50,000 by the federal government versus going and teaching an APS and making $60,000. You know, you're going to have to make that economic decision for yourself and your family. And so we don't want teachers to have to make that decision. We want teachers to be teaching in the schools they want to.
The proposed bill does not have a cost included with it. But if the study recommendations are enacted, the BIE would have to boost funding for tribal schools. For National Native News, I'm Jeanette Didios.
The U.S. Supreme Court recently ruled that mail-in ballots that arrive after Election Day can still be counted. While the move is a win for Arizona's indigenous voters, it highlights the challenges Native people still face in rural parts of the state. Mark Moran reports.
The U.S. Supreme Court recently ruled that mail-in ballots that arrive after Election Day can still be counted. While the move is a win for Arizona's indigenous voters, voting rights advocates say the debate highlights the challenges Native people face in trying to submit a ballot in person. The sheer geography, vast distances between physical polling places, and lack of transportation all present obstacles for indigenous voters. In many places, the nearest polling place may be miles away. But Arizona Native Votes' Janie Parrish says many people on reservations also lack physical addresses, which creates its own set of problems.
Even in some rural towns, they have physical addressing, but not on a lot of tribal lands. But our folks still vote by mail.
The Trump administration has pushed back on the high court's ruling, asking justices to allow the president's executive order to be implemented. The attempt to reject mail-in ballots received after Election Day is among a host of bold policy choices under the Trump administration. Parrish also points to efforts to challenge voter citizenship, which she says hit especially hard on Native reservations.
It's just absurd when we have to explain this or when they hear about the news or what this means, and it's another barrier.
According to research from the Brennan Center, Indigenous voters were about 7% less likely to cast their ballot by mail in the last general election, reflecting a wider lack of participation among Natives. I'm Mark Moran for Arizona News Connection.
And I'm Jill Freitas.
National Native News is produced by Kawanak Broadcast.
Our thanks to Kawanak Broadcast Corporation for National Native News. You hear it also during All Things Considered coming up at 4:30 today. It is 6:41. Here we are, Malachi Coons.
Here we are.
Yeah.
Friday morning
of
our summer member drive. Looking like a gray, cool, drizzly day, much needed after the heat and humidity. Mm-hmm. We're hanging out. We are coming to you. Because we are public radio, we are a community radio station, and we rely on you to step up. Just a few times a year do we switch things up, and it's really for a good cause. It's for what allows us to have voices like National Native News, like you said, Heidi, alongside news that our very own news team is producing, alongside news from all around the world, around the country, from NPR. And just different voices, different perspectives. It connects you and your region to the broader world. One of the things I love about KEXE from the news, music can do that as well with the local right alongside artists from all around the world. And that is something that we are able to do because since 1976, people have been stepping up for this radio station. Longtime members continue to do it. They are upping their sustaining memberships. Maybe if you've been at the same level for a while now this summer, I think a good time. You can bump up that monthly donation if you think that fits for your bill. We need to see that support. We need to get our Friday morning show rolling today so that we can stay on track and hit this goal. 10 matches today on the morning show. Who is going to kick that off for us? 218-326-1234 is our phone number. Go online to kexe.org as well. And you know what you get when you tune into the morning show. Connection. Voices, friendly voices, people you know around the community bringing you. It can be fun. It can be humor. It can be informational. It can be sad. It can be moving. It can be so many things because we are unfiltered and we're real people who just share our passions and our concerns with the world and our conversations directly to you. We need your support now. Call 218-326-1234.
I think it was last week, Malachi, I was telling you, so I woke up at 4 today, which I was not happy about, and couldn't quite fall asleep, and I was worried. I was like, we gotta get some pledges, we gotta do what's going on, sitting there thinking, and nicely, my cat, once again, holding my hand.
Wow.
Just a paw in my hand.
Two weeks in a row.
So even though I had to, wasn't quite falling asleep, I was in some in-between. I was like, at least I'm resting, and there's a cat paw here. But, it's people helping each other. It's people telling stories of where they're from and where they live. But it's a really important thing. We hear a lot of complaints about media in the world. And, not everybody is as lucky as we are in northern Minnesota. Have local media that is covering the news, the stories, the elections, the primary elections in this way. And we need it to keep it going. We are passionate about this because we care about where we live. And we need you right now. That next person is going to keep it going for us. It's really vital to make that happen right now. Like Malachi said, increase your sustaining membership. Maybe that's a great way for you to do it. Just know that you are making a difference in your community by being a member of KXE.
Yeah, that's why we share the names. That's why we have the gong. It's because it kind of shows you the way that our funding works and how personal and how drawn from the community is. It isn't like such a huge number of people that we aren't able to gong everyone in. It isn't, money from corporations or money from different areas. It's real people. We love to say their name. We love to see where they're calling from, where they're supporting. And we can gong them all in because of that's how important they are to our funding model. And when people hear, I'm just making up names, John in this place or Jane here, someone out there probably knows who they are. They maybe are friends with them or come from their area. And they think, you know what, if that person's doing it, I should do too. So to get it running, to get it going, to get your name out there, to get the donations going, it will encourage more people to step up. And we need you to be that first one right now who can open up the floodgates, get the momentum going, get the ball rolling, and people will follow. It is, we know that. We've done this a long time. You've done this longer than I have. You know that that is the truth. It's like the matches. We know how it works. Mm-hmm. We're not lying to you. We're not pulling a fast one. It's public radio. And our phone number is 218-326-1234. You can go to kexe.org. But whatever you do, at whatever amount works for you, we do need to hear from you today on this Friday morning.
We're going to hear a good feeling song that I never get. It's sort of sappy, but in the best possible way.
I love sappy.
Really has a feel of KXE. Because on KXE, everybody is welcome. And we include you. And we would desperately, because that first one is kind of the big deal, right? We need
it
that
is.
First one to get going. Be that person now. 218-326-1234.
You got to find your people, the ones that make you feel all right. The kind you want to stay up with all night. You got to find your people, the ones that make you feel whole. They won't leave your side when you lose control. The ones that don't let you lose your soul. You got to find your people, the ones that get the joke. To understand what you're saying for a word is spoke. You gotta find your people to put the needle in the groove. When you're together, you got nothing to prove. When you're together, you got nothing to lose. In a world full of strangers, you don't know who to trust. All you see is danger, trying to find what you lost. Can't go it alone. Everybody needs help. You gotta find your people, then you'll find yourself. You gotta find your people that'll call your bluff. Who'll ride along when the road is rough. You gotta find your people, the ones that make you feel equal. They pick you up and don't put you down. Help you find your way in the lost and found. In a world full of strangers, you don't know who to trust. All you see is danger, trying to find what you lost. You can't go it alone. Everybody needs help. You gotta find your people, then you'll find yourself. That understand you, the ones that lend a hand to you, the ones that don't demand anything from you. You gotta find your people, the ones that make you feel alright, that tell you the truth and wish you well. You gotta find your people, then you'll find yourself. You gotta find your people, then you'll find yourself.
Drew Holcomb,
And the neighbors.
Yeah. I mean, it's find your people. That's the thing.
We are finding our people every day, all week long. There's still people to find, though.
You know what? That is a really nice thing. I just heard someone talking about how, you know, you get to a certain age that you think like you have your friends set, and you don't think about that you've got all this opportunity for new people and different kinds of people. We're not talking a certain type of person. You know, it's like you can find people that mean something in your life that maybe are your new best friend, or maybe that acquaintance that makes life a little bit better because you see them, you run into them, you say hi, you know, just take a moment to talk to them. And that's what we're looking for today, is that feeling of community, of welcoming. And Drew Holcomb said it great there, find your people. So help us out right now. We need your support. 218-326-1234. Speaking of people talking, we're going to have our talkback segment. So many people getting in touch with us this week because they're hearing the voices of the people in the community. I love Membership Drive because it's lively. There's more voices. There's more stories. You realize that people are listening and they want to be a part of this. And sometimes, you know, in the world of busy, you think, well, I don't have time to get involved. I can't possibly go to another meeting. No meetings. You don't have to go on Teams to be a part of KXC, because you probably have that at your work.
Yeah, and like the one meeting a year when we do want people to come, we throw a big awesome concert as well. Yeah. So you can barely even call it a meeting.
But, or a picnic, like Green Cheese coming up a week from Saturday. We need you right now. 218-326-1234. You can text the word donate to that number. You'll get a form just right back through the tubes. Sent right back to you through your phone. I don't know
through
how
the
it
tubes.
Works,
I like
but
that.
It happens.
Yeah, through the ether.
Yes.
The
just like the pneumatic tube at the bank.
You know, are all kids as fascinated with those as I was?
I am still fascinated.
Wouldn't it be cool if that was just more common? Because like in every sci-fi film for a while there, like it didn't matter. Like you would be like in an apartment building and you'd want to send something to like your neighbor on the floor above, and you would never walk it up. Like they would all have a pneumatic tube.
Yeah.
You know?
I know.
You
remember being in a car as a kid and waiting for that sucker to come and how, you know, because they're going to put that in with your folks, you know.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
And you're just like, wow, here it is. It's coming. That's kind of us as we're waiting for folks coming forward. 218-326-1234. I also love how pneumatic is spelled. I mean, I know it sounds crazy, but I love spelling. P.
Does any word with a sneaky P in front of it?
Yeah, makes me kind of happy.
Yeah. Is there any? I wonder, you know, text in 218-326-1234. I didn't think about it before I said it, but.
No, I didn't. I wasn't trying to. Oh. I just like the sound of that as well.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of words like that.
You're delighting me today, Malachi, and I need you to gong.
Oh, that we got.
218-326-1234.
I was thinking so deeply about pneumatic tubes that I forgot my most important job.
I'm sorry.
We'll get back to the pneumatic tubes conversation.
There's some things I get really obsessed about and I like the idea of, and pneumatic tubes is one. Harlem Globetrotters are another. We just heard from Tower, Minnesota, Wendy pledging her support. And Wendy, we cannot thank you enough. She loves the station. Reporting is fair and balanced. It is an uplifting station. It is, because you're here.
Yeah.
We sure appreciate it. And Wendy, you know what she's doing? She is increasing her sustaining membership.
There we go. Just as we mentioned. Thank you so much, Wendy. That's getting the ball rolling. 10 matches today to unlock our $1,000 match. Shout out to Wendy. Who are we going to hear from next? Maybe you're in Tower just like Wendy. Maybe you're somewhere else around northern Minnesota. Maybe you're even beyond in a different part of the United States. But KAXC connects you to this place that you maybe grew up in or visited or used to live in or raised kids here. Whatever it might be, join Wendy. Call 218-326-1234 or go to KAXC.org. Thank you so much. People who have been supporting are supporting more. And I think that right there is like enough to tell if you are thinking about becoming a new member, that people care that much and are that involved and have had such a long relationship with KEXC. That's all you need to know to like, just get your foot in the door, become a member and whatever amount works for you, and you're not going to be disappointed. You're going to have these lifelong connections. Thinking about what you said, Heidi, about meeting people at any time. Mm-hmm. I know I'm not alone here, and I've met such good friends at KEXC events that have brought people together from different areas and different communities. Mm-hmm. It's you know, I won't say that making friends is easy at any time, but it's a little easier. You run into people who live in your hometown, but have made really good friends from the Iron Range and from other parts at KEX events especially. And I know I'm not alone in that. It's connection on the air. It's connection through your radio waves, connection in person, and it's people-powered radio. So yeah. Join Wendy. Join us. Come hang out. Heidi Holton and the neighbors and Malachi Coons.
And a pneumatic tube.
And pneumatic tubes. That's what I wanted to know. Can anyone give us a situation other than banks where those are like used?
Yeah.
And not
NASA?
And used in a way that I'm thinking of, which is to send like, hey, do you have any sugar? Type messages.
Oh,
you know, that's what I want.
I always dreamed as we built up KBXE that there would be a pneumatic tube following Highway 2 to get to the
between KXE and KBXE.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
wouldn't that be cool?
Would be fun.
Yeah.
What if
it might take a while? You know, depending on what happens.
Maybe we should go back to like.
And don't worry, Steve, our engineer, if he's listening, we're not going to make you set up a pneumatic tube.
No.
Stations, but
no.
It's just the idea of it. Like,
if it worked, we would
connection. Yeah, we certainly would. We would have.
Yeah, I think a telegraph line could actually be kind of fun.
Yeah.
Between the two stations along Highway 2.
That's, I mean, here's the thing. What we're talking about, I mean, so that at one point pneumatic tube was like the most newfangled thing in the world, you know?
But why didn't it catch on? What went wrong with the pneumatic tube?
It's still here, though. I beg to differ. I mean, they didn't.
In banks.
Well, yeah. But didn't go away.
You're right.
So, but. Radio is sort of this weird thing of the one of the most old-fashioned things, right?
True.
That you wake up in the morning and turn on the radio in your bathroom. For some of us, you know, who grew up at a time where there were radios around, or you get in your car, you turn the radio on. For some people, it's on your phone, it's looking at kxe.org, but it is still this communication that is very old-fashioned, and we are stronger than ever, and we need your support. We are in the second to the last day of our membership drive. We are determined to do this because we know people like you are going to make that happen right now. 218-326-1234. Our last two folks have made us feel good. I forgot from Tower. What was her name?
Wendy.
Wendy. Wendy and Katie so far weighing in. So thank you so much. 218-326-1234. I think it's time. We heard from lots of folks this week.
Yeah. Should we do the talkbacks?
Yeah.
Let's check in with some of the comments we've got. We're always glad to hear from our listeners, whether their thoughts are good or they are, you know, have some concerns with things they've heard or they'd like things to be differently. We love it all and we need it all. That's one of the things you can do as a member is share those concerns or share tips, whatever it might be. You can email comments at kexe.org or text us at 218-326-1234. Great place to become a member as well. We heard from Jess from Pequot Lakes who said, we listen to Green Cheese, but we have not listened to much after dark. And this is about last Saturday. They said, what an amazing night of new wave music. Great playlist. Not sure how often you play new wave, but we love it here on Pequot Lakes. And you know who they were listening to? Mark Klablundy. And guess what? You can catch him later today hosting On the River from 1 to 4. Yeah, Mark was one of our many volunteers who put in so much time and so much expertise and bring you radio you don't get anywhere else. That's such an interesting mix of music. So
is it weird to say I love his last name and I hope, like, if I walk by him, I can just go, Klablundy. You know, it's just a name, an interest, like in gym class or something.
You might see him later today, so you give it a try. He will be IRL and in our studios.
Wendy and Tower has some information that just came in over the the pneumatic tube. She says that pneumatic tubes are still used in hospitals all the time.
Okay,
sending lab specimens, medication, and paperwork between departments.
You know. Okay, that's good to know. Thank you, Wendy. So now I know that. I feel like hospitals should, people would enjoy going to the hospital more if they got a little glimpse of that. See, I didn't even know that was going on, you know? But like, it's like, you go through.
It would help with fears of going to the doctor.
I'm not afraid of the doctor. I trust the doctor. I grew up in a medical household and I trust are healthcare professionals.
Right. You,
let me just get that.
You still live in.
Let me just go on the record and say
household.
That.
Yes.
I do. I do.
Yes.
But like, you know, you don't love going through a bank drive-thru, but then you're like, oh, look, it's that little tube. And so all I'm saying is, if like right after your nurse took your blood, instead of walking out of the room with it, she immediately put it in a tube, you'd be like, ah, you know, I'd come back here again. No one? Okay. All right.
I don't know. I love it. I don't know. I mean,
just a thought. I'm just pitching. I'm not a hospital designer.
No, I'm aware, you know, but.